But if you can turn with me, please, two places, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. As you know, we were in a series on the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, and who the Holy Spirit is and what his function is. And then we took a two-week break for giving thanks throughout Thanksgiving season, which I think we should do every single day is give thanks. But we do certainly embrace the season that we're given and giving thanks to be able to talk about that. And then I told you we had one more message or one more time. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And when you mention the Holy Spirit, man, I think if you're going to do a study on the Holy Spirit, you talk about spiritual gifts and the understanding of what spiritual gifts look like and how they are to function within the church and the overall meaning of how they're supposed to function in the church. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time in your word. It's a dynamic time. Your word is alive and powerful. It is truth. We're called to live it out. So Father, bless our time today. Speak to us this morning. Show us what we need to see today in your word as we just go into this for the community of Believers Chapel and who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I know, you know I love the Steelers. You know that the Steelers have to win out to make the playoffs, and the Giants are they're really not that good, so they're gonna fall like a brick today. I believe that, and I'm hoping that they fall next. We'll bet you lunch on that, Dad. You're gonna buy me lunch because the Steelers are gonna trounce on your Bills. That'll be fun. We'll bet lunch. I pick because I win. Excellent. Come on, look at this. 1 Corinthians 12. We're gonna talk about spiritual gifts, and the amazing thing is in church today, when you reference spiritual gifts, it seems everybody just seems to congregate and are really only concerned about one gift. What's tongues and what does that mean? And just they are so centered and so focused on one gift, they forget that there are so many other gifts. And then they're so concerned about one because I just want to share that this is something where I want you to know our position here at Believers Chapel and where we're at and our trusting in God moving here in these services, okay? Let me tell you where we're at, okay? I believe that God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and earth, when the Bible says that there's nothing impossible for him, you know what I believe? That there's nothing impossible for him, okay? When I see that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, when I get that and I understand that, and if you can really, honestly, man, put your head in that simple, very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Like, is there anything difficult for him past that? Like, if I can believe that, I can believe God can do anything. He tells us there's nothing impossible with God. He tells us that in the Old Testament, tells us that in the New Testament. You know what I believe? That there's nothing impossible for God. I believe that God can raise the dead. I believe that God can heal any sickness or disease. I believe God can heal a blind eye. I believe God can take and transfer those who are in darkness into to his marvelous light, which truly is the greatest miracle of all times. I believe that God can do an incredible work in marriage to reconcile. I believe that God can do a miracle, which is a supernatural work that only God can get credit for. Because I don't want to come to a place to ever, ever limit God. And the one who can do all things. And I love this because sometimes we think, well, you know, he created the heaven and the earth. Sometimes we think, man, that was a huge thing. Like day four must have been difficult for you, God. Like sun, moon, stars, like that must have been the big day. Like that must have been a difficult, difficult day for you. And then God, it must have been, I mean, how much thought did you put into females? Like seriously, I mean, what did that look like when you created that amazing, incredible, complicated being in regards to a female? How amazing. I mean, listen, seriously though, ladies, this is the truth. You guys have your Bible study. It's every other week and you guys get together and you guys have a blast. And men can do one or two retreats like a year. Like we can play euchre and we're connected. We're good. Like that's what we need. We're connected. We love one another. We're connected enough. We spent one night with each other and we don't need to do that again for another year. It's perfect, right? So we're connected. That's kind of the way God created us. It's glorious. But then we think, like, is it difficult for God to heal? Like, God, that creation thing must have been a big one. We can't think like that. That's a misunderstanding. There's nothing difficult. That wasn't hard for God. 6 days of creation, that wasn't a big thing for God. That was just God being God, like a walk in the park for him. It wasn't difficult, folks. We can't begin to set levels of difficulties for the creator of the universe. If we can own Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Like, if you really own that and you believe that, like anything past that, like, man, if I really know that he did that and that wasn't hard for him, there wasn't a level of difficulty per day to day, then God, anything you do is a piece of cake generally. And today, man, I want to talk about spiritual gifts in a sense where the Holy Spirit can move. And there's a lot of different thoughts on this. And I want to be very careful because in the different thoughts, it can bring division. And the only one that's in division is the devil, church. Please understand that. The only one that's in division is the devil. The devil's in division and he's the only one that benefits from division. That's it. So I want to be very careful in regards to this, okay? Let me just put all my cards on the table. This is what I believe. This is what I believe the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible teaches that all spiritual gifts are still functioning today. That's what I believe. I believe the Bible doesn't come to a place to limit spiritual gifts. I don't believe where you have one view is the cessationist view, which is the sign gifts are no longer for today. They died with the apostles. And they'll give you a couple verses, specifically 1 Corinthians 13. They'll go through a couple verses in there trying to prove their point that the sign gifts, prophecy, tongues, and healing, they are no longer for today. They died with the apostles, when the apostles. And I can't get there from 1 Corinthians 13. I can't get there after seeing all Jesus and all God did and all the Spirit did in the Old Testament in healing and raising the dead and unbelievable, amazing works. I can't get there from all the works of the New Testament that Jesus himself did and the apostles. I can't think because it nowhere says that those gifts will no longer function today. I don't find myself in that position. But I also don't find myself in the hyper-charismatic position where everybody needs to speak and pray in tongues. And if you're not speaking and praying in tongues, you don't really understand the Holy Spirit. And we've covered this in one of the first or second sessions on the Holy Spirit. We're not there because the Bible doesn't teach that. And the Bible's not there that if you're not praying in tongues, you're missing out. The Bible doesn't speak that. But the Bible also doesn't say that tongues aren't going to continue. I believe that all the spiritual gifts are in place, but this is where I want to go with it. We're not going to get into a breakdown of all the spiritual gifts. You can do that in an amazing, beautiful study yourself, but what I'm going to do is the big picture. I want the big picture this morning in regards to the reason and the purpose that he, the Holy Spirit, has given us these amazing, beautiful gifts for the church. That's where I want to part today. That's where I want to get into today. It's not a breakdown of all the spiritual gifts. It's not our tongues for today or not for today. And there's a sense where you have maybe a possible prayer language in a tongue, or even in a public setting, there's a tongue with interpretation. But where I land on that is in this public setting. I am specifically prophesying because I'm speaking God's word to you through the word. When you see something like that, I love Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, listen, I would rather speak just 5 words in a known language to the church setting, to the church, a community like this, than 10,000 words in the tongue. So he puts this thing in incredible, beautiful balance when you read scripture. So this is kind of where we land as a church. But it's very important if you're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, you can't just skip out on spiritual gifts and say, well, we don't want to touch those. They're beautiful. They're amazing. They're wonderful. They're empowering. It's an amazing work of the Holy Spirit in and through us for a purpose. That's the deal. That's where we land today, for a purpose. And the purpose is the church. The purpose is the community. That's our purpose. So I want you to see this. Come on, 1 Corinthians 12. And man, again, this is absolutely has nothing to do with division. This has nothing to do with my side or another side. This is where I see in Scripture where we land as a church. We've communicated this many times before, but when you do a series on the Holy Spirit, I really do want to touch on spiritual gifts because they're vital, man. They're so important to us as individuals and as the church, as the community. Look at this, chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to become unaware. Like he's even saying, like, pay attention to these. This isn't something you just push aside. Well, let's not talk about those. Yeah, we should because they're beautiful and they're amazing. And it's for the church. Like we should, we need to. We need to identify this. And just so we know, as you have heard many times, that 1 Corinthians, this is a book of correction. This is a letter that's written to the Corinthian church that they were a mess. I mean, this is how far they were immoral. They were doing horrible things in the front of the church immorally. They were getting drunk at communion because they were drinking wine at communion. We serve grape juice, folks. No one's getting drunk at our communion, okay? Just so you know. But they were in a bad place. That's true. Paul was writing this as a corrective letter. Say, hey, listen, let's get things back into order. Let's get things back into balance, and let's take it from there. And he says this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Here it is, for the common good. What's the common good? That's us as a church. To one gives a word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And to another, faith. Now, this isn't a saving faith. All have a saving faith. This is a level of faith that can move mountains. This is the level of faith that you know something and then you believe it and God moves on it. This is a spiritual gift, is a level of faith. Now by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing. I believe, man, I want to see God do work. Man, I want to see God heal. I believe that even in James, it tells us that we are supposed to anoint with oil, lay hands on, and believe that God is going to do a work for those who are sick, that they would be healed. I believe that God still heals today. I believe that God can move in a heart that is to move in a physical body that is diseased or broken physically. I believe that God can do a work in that. I believe this. Gifts of healing by one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles. Now, this is a supernatural work. We're talking about miracles. Listen, when we believe that God is unlimited and God can do anything he chooses to do, wouldn't it be amazing to see God do a work that could only be explained as God? We do serve a supernatural God. Don't ever miss out on the supernatural. We do serve a supernatural God. And when I beg God that we would see, not in a sense of, oh, we just want to see, but God, we want to be able to boast on you. And God, I want to see you move amongst your people that there is no other explanation, but God showed up. God did something and God showed up and it was something that no man could do, but it had to be of God. Man, I'm asking God, that we would see this, that God, you would heal the sick. God, you would do something in regards to marriage, that you would show up. God, that you would move in such a way that it can only be you who can do it and no one else can get credit for it. God, you're supernatural and you are all powerful and you can do anything that you choose to do. Yes, I believe in miracles. And yes, I believe that God can do anything he chooses to do. I want to see God do things that are just unexplainable, that no man has an explanation for, because God showed up. Yes, I believe that's for today, because I believe in a God who's all powerful. I believe in a God who spoke a word. It wasn't difficult for him to speak and create. That's miraculous. No one did that. Powerful. Miracle after miracle after miracle. But look at this, please. And he says this. The effective miracles, and another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Don't get hung up on those two, please, because that seems to some way find the forefront of a push from hyper charismatic that you have to pray in tongues. This is a must for you. If you are a believer, and then you have to be able, that's, you can't back that play by Scripture. You can't. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us quite otherwise. Yes, we believe that those who would say, Sean, is it okay? I believe that God has given me a gift of tongues and I pray in tongues. I think that's phenomenal. I think it's beautiful. I think it's amazing. I'm not going to discredit that. But we're going to be very careful in a sense of who I can very well trust. And we've never had a public tongue here, and I believe it's been on purpose because, number one, I probably wouldn't allow it in a sense of a balance of who I can very, 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 very well trust with that gift, because anybody could just make up anything, and it could be dangerous. Besides, when Paul says, when you're public, that's Paul himself who says, I'm glad I pray in tongues more than all of you. This is what he says. I'm glad I pray in tongues more than you, but I'd rather just speak five words from my mind, something that you can hear and know, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Wow! Like, that kind of settles it for me. That settles it for me here. Right? And he says this, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. I love this verse. Hear this. Distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Just as he desires. The Holy Spirit's going to give these gifts as he sees fit to whom he sees fit. Not to everybody. Not to every single person. That would be chaos. And God is a God, at the end of this chapter, God's a God who does things in order. Come on. At the end of chapter 14. But right now, look at chapter 12. Just be chapter 12, verse 12. This is where we're going today. Because I want you to see this. He just talked about spiritual gifts and the varieties of spiritual gifts. And then he goes right into this. I love this. He says, he gives the same Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he desires, as he sees fit. Verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, they are one body, so also is Christ. I mean, look at this. It talks about the variety of gifts, the many different spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit. This is why this is in the close of this series. This is the work of the Holy Spirit to distribute spiritual gifts as he sees fit. For what reason? Because the body is one, but yet has many members. I love it how he equates spiritual gifts to the working and functioning of the community. Look what he says. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of the same Spirit. We talked about this in this series in detail, in depth. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And then he goes right into us, and this all references spiritual gifts. He goes into a serious description in verse 15 all the way down. He says this, for if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it not for this reason any of the less part of the body? But if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, am I not a part of the body? Like, if I don't have this spiritual gift, does this mean I'm not a part of the body? I mean, he's saying, listen, everybody works together. And when you understand that it is for the common good, when you understand that it is for the community of Believers Chapel, us together as one body, but yet many members, many people working together as one. This is talking about the unity of the church. Every single person has a part. Verse 17, for the whole body were an eye. That would be weird, right? Could you imagine your whole, I have a big nose, so I could just imagine myself just being one big nose, right? Just that would be really weird if that was the case. But he says, listen, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But no, God has placed the member, I love this, verse 18 is connected to verse 11. Now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires. Some of us are feet, some of us are ears, some of us are eyes, some of us are nose, some of us are hands. Not everybody can be the same. And he equates the same thing in regards to the spiritual gifts. He gives as he desires. Now look at this, verse 19. Now I don't want to lose you in this. This is important. Verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And I want to teach on this because there's been a lot of questions about spiritual gifts. There's been a lot of questions about the Holy Spirit. And this is very much needs to be, and I love to communicate this. This is a great thing for the church. We have to have an understanding about it, right? And as God has called me to lead this place, I want you to have an understanding as I have an understanding. Verse 20, but now there are many members, but one body. And he goes in, the eye cannot say to the hand, the head cannot say to the feet. He goes down this whole list. Verse 25 says this, so that, I love this, this is the purpose. This is where we're going today. So that there may be no division in the body. Division is from the devil. Don't ever forget that. And I am on, man, I love to brag about our team. I love to brag about our staff. I love to brag about our volunteers. I love to brag about the congregation here in this place. I love to brag about where we're at as a church. Now listen, please, this is true. From 8 years, our leadership team, we have lost one leader in 8 years. That's dynamic. That we are a unified bunch. We are a bunch that stands unified to do the work of God, to stand in a place to know what he's doing, stand in a place to know what it takes to reach this region. I love to be able to honestly come before you and say, as a staff, as a team, as who we are as a church, as the leaders of this church, as the board of this church, we are unified. We're going places in him. And this is a purpose even of the spiritual gifts, to know that, man, there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Verse 26, this is beautiful. For if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27. Gang, I love this because verse 26 kind of defines Believer's Chapel. Because we have such a church that hurts when somebody else hurts. We have people who will cry with you. We have people who will jump up and down and rejoice with you when you're honored. Not jealous. Not angry they didn't get the privilege. Not angry, hear this now, that they didn't get that gift. Or they weren't. Or they didn't. But we have people who truly will weep when you weep, and they will rejoice when you rejoice. Gang, that's community, that's church, that's unity. When you understand that as a church body, what happens when you're unified? Unstoppable. Unstoppable. That's why the enemy hates unity, loves division. In your home, in your marriage, if there's division there, that's the devil. The devil's in division. If you're unified, if you really get the concept of two becoming one, no longer two, but one, if you get that concept and own that, unstoppable, unbreakable. Now look at this, come on. Verse 28 says this, and God appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. And I believe that's in order. That's why we absolutely will never put tongues as a front runner for gifts. So many times it's so pushed. It's so pushed. And I believe that is so wrong. If you're looking at a first, second, third, and a continued gift, you know what goes before even tongues is helps. If God has given you a gift just to help, that's before tongues. I'm just giving you the order. That's what we read. Your book says the same thing. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets. All are not teachers. All are not workers of miracles. All do not have gifts of healing. All do not speak in tongues. And they ask the question, do they? The answer is no. All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greatest gifts. And I show you still a more excellent way. And don't forget, he writes this as a letter going right in. We're the ones who broke up chapter and verse. It's written as a continuous letter. What's the greatest? He goes into all of these spiritual gifts. He talks about the unity of the church. He talks about hurting when one hurts. He talks about rejoicing when one rejoices. And what's the greatest gift in chapter 13? What is it? I'm sorry, one more time.
Love.
Yes. What's it about? What are spiritual gifts about? It's about the community of the church. It's about the unity of the church. It's about the function of what it takes to give a word of knowledge or for good of word, for the common good, to build, to encourage. What's it take to help? What's it take to teach, to encourage, to build, to love? That's the greatest of all, is to love. Then we'll close this thing out quickly, Romans 12, because I want you to see this, because it is so attached to this. Romans 12 is another place where spiritual gifts are given, and it almost gives the almost same pattern. Verse, I want to read this. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 says this. And if one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one is honored, all rejoice with it. Now I want you to see this. Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Same thought. Same thought. But what comes before that? Verse 4 says this, just as we have many members, but one body, very similar to 1 Corinthians 12, see how they attach. All members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, very similar, same thing, same thought, 1 Corinthians 12, individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, people just love to serve. This is another word for deacons. Those who just love to show up and do. Man, that's a beautiful spiritual gift. That, I mean, honestly, that's a gift that is just prominent in this church. We have so many people, Sean, what can I do? How can I get involved? I know there's an event coming up. I want to help. I want to be there early. We have this just prominent Believers Chapel, a gift of service. They just want to do. They want to see a need and meet a need. Listen, when people, I love this because when you understood Jesus, like people say, Sean, I just want to serve. I just want to get involved. I just want to meet needs. Like, what do I do for that? You know what? I look at Jesus. Anything I do, I look to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus just saw a need and he met it. That was serving. When you see a need, meet the need. That's serving. It's a spiritual gift. It's beautiful. And in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation. That's those who encourage. You ever been around people that all they do is ooze encouragement? They just want to build you up no matter what and where you're at. They just ooze with encouragement. This is a gift. This is a spiritual gift. He who gives with liberality. That means someone who just loves to give. Finances. They just have it and they just love to give. There's several in this church. Several that have a gift. They just want to bless. They just want to meet needs financially. And they just want to give. Even when they don't have a lot. I love it. There's not like there's an amount to this. Well, if you have this much money, then you have a gift. No. It comes from the Holy Spirit that even if you have little, it is just your desire to give and you continue to give. And just as we read, man, if you scatter it, it increases. And he himself waters will himself be watered. And man, it's an amazing, beautiful thing that is a spiritual gift that you look to be able to bless and you look to be able to give. We have several in this church that come to mind, even as I say that, we have amazing people here filled with these amazing, beautiful spiritual gifts. And it blesses the body as a whole. That's the point. That's the point. It's amazing. And he who leads, leadership is a spiritual gift. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without it comes down to love, folks. Isn't it amazing that these two chapters that deal with spiritual gifts are so similar? Verse 13 says this. Well, let me read verse 10. We got to close this thing out. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. It boils down to love. And then verse 13 says this. I love this. Distributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Distributing to the needs of the saints, the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You know what ministry we have patterned after this one verse? Again, I believe that one verse can rearrange a ministry. One verse can bless so many families. Let me read it again. We have a whole ministry based after this one verse. Romans 12, 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Our ministry is called Eagle's Nest. And many of you have experienced Eagle's Nest, where you're coming out of the hospital or you've come to a difficult place or somebody can't work now. What does Eagle's Nest gets involved? We have so many people involved in this ministry that they just come along and they begin to cook meals and make meals and just begin to encourage and build and do anything necessary to get a family back to a place where they can do what they're called to do. And it's an incredible practicing hospitality. It's a beautiful, amazing gift. It's the gift of helps. It's the gift of helps. It's the gift of serving. It's our Eagle Nest ministry that goes into homes and just blesses a family in need. And it's beautiful. Why? Because, again, right here in verse 15, right after that, we rejoice with those who rejoice. And we weep with those who weep. Gang, that's church. That really is the community here at Believers Chapel. And it's amazing that all of that sounds so similar. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and both of them have to deal with the moving of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, and it's about the community. It's about the church. It's about all of us as one body, but yet many members with many functions doing everything together in all kind of ways, where somebody's the hand and somebody's the feet and somebody's the eyes and somebody's the nose and somebody's the ears and somebody's... And you just go right down the whole line, and we have so many of somebody's this and somebody's that and somebody's this. And there's so much incredible variety here at Believers Chapel. It's just, it's It is something that is just beautiful. That, folks, is the work of the Holy Spirit. To bring a community of people like this together to serve one another, to love one another, to bear each other's burdens, to encourage and to build one another, to be there for one another, to weep. And I love that in this church, to weep with someone who's weeping, to rejoice and celebrate with someone who's celebrating. That's amazing, really. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I'm one who believes in the continual work of the Holy Spirit, the continual gifts that will be until Jesus comes. When 1 Corinthians 13 says that which perfect comes, these things will cease. I believe that is speaking in regards to the return of Jesus Christ, because right below that, a few verses later, it says when we see him face to face. It's not talking about the word, I don't believe. I believe it's talking about Jesus. And at that point, when we're in heaven, all these things won't be needed. I believe that God has such a work. Please hear this and then we'll close out. I believe God has such a work here for this church. And I believe you're called to use your spiritual gift in this church. And you'll see God do such amazing things in this community. Such an amazing work and amongst people who are hurt and broke, amongst people within this church, within this community, that we are one body. But we are many, with all kind of variety of work to be done. It's powerful. Let's just pray. Father, God, I hope I have delivered this with grace. God, I believe what you've written is true. God, I thank you for this community. I thank you for this church. I thank you that, God, there's so many things that take place that I'm never even aware of. And how this community encourages one another, builds one another, speaks to one another. How the home groups just surround one another and continue to build community on a whole different level than home groups. I thank you for the relationships in this place. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move in this church for the sake of the community, for the sake of the body, for the sake of this church. As Paul said, Lord, the greatest gift is, Father, that we would love one another, that we would be devoted to love one another. We'd practice it. We'd work for it. We'd do whatever it takes to love one another. God, I thank you for the unity of this church. God, it's just dynamic. It's amazing. It's amazing. Father, it's beautiful. I thank you for the unity of this congregation. God, I believe that makes us unstoppable. Unstoppable. God, you said that at the Tower of Babel. You had to bring a different language to confuse them because they were so unified. You said they could accomplish anything they put their hand to because of their unity. If it goes for the dark side, God, it goes for us. If we're a unified group, God, we can do anything. We can accomplish anything that we put our hands to for the sake of your kingdom. Unstoppable. God, we're blessed in this community. We're so blessed in this church. And we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name.